The Navy SEALs are the most elite special operations unit in the United States military, engaging in dangerous and secret missions like rescuing hostages or taking down Osama bin Laden. Lieutenant Commander Rourke Denver has been a Navy SEAL officer for 14 years, and he's fought in Liberia and Afghanistan. He's trained new SEALs when he was the head of basic and advanced SEAL training. He was also one of the stars of the 2012 movie Act of Valor. With the help of Newsday columnist Ellis Hennekin, Mr. Denver has written Damn Few, Making the Modern SEAL Warrior. It's published by Hyperion, and I'm very pleased that it brings Lieutenant Commander Rourke Denver to our show today. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
What does the acronym SEAL stand for?
Sea, Air, and Land. So it comes from our kind of forefathers that started the program that came from the sea, the underwater demolition units of World War II, and even further back, that kind of were the frogmen genesis of the SEAL teams.
But weren't the Marines created to be sea?
They are, absolutely, yeah. Marines are the kind of infantry force of the Navy, and we're a very small contingent of that combat fighting force within the Navy.
And you've existed for only 50 years?
It's been a short window of time with a lot of work.
And why was the program created? Weren't these tests taken care of by other units?
There are other historic special operations units that have been out there on the battlefield for many years, and John F. Kennedy is actually the one that had the vision of creating a maritime-capable focus specifically on counterterror-type force that came out of the SEALs, that came out of the Navy. Yeah.
Special ops forces, particularly the SEALs, have been getting a lot more attention in recent years with successful operations like the Osama bin Laden operation. Were things done more secretly in the past?
I don't think the missions have become less secret. I do think the reporting cycle and the information of news and social media and just the amount of intensity of heat and kind of interest in our brotherhood has reached a fever pitch. I don't think it's compromised any of the actual missions that we're engaging in. So far I haven't seen anything that's compromised a mission in any way, but it's got tremendous heat on it right now.
Well, there were certain concerns when a book was written about the Osama bin Laden operation, mm-hmm. and not everybody was pleased by what a SEAL had written.
Yeah.
The Obama administration has relied heavily on the Joint Special Operations Command, which includes the SEALs, a lot more than previous administrations. Do you think that has increased the effectiveness of military operations?
You know, I write about in Damn Few that special operations has just a unique skill set. It is a high return on investment, low cost comparatively, group of folks that can have tremendous influence on the battlefield. We're small and nimble and creative groups of operators that can really address problem sets when they come up. So it does give options.
The same kind of argument has been used for the increasing reliance on drone strikes. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of media and public controversy over their use. Do you think that drones can be more effective than a SEAL team?
You know, drones are an effective tool in the arsenal, and they can be used to high success. And then they also have an indiscriminate nature to them as well that can be challenging. So they're another tool in the arsenal that we utilize and leverage on the battlefield.
Well, couldn't Osama bin Laden have been killed simply by a drone strike on the compound in Abbottabad?
I believe that was part of the argument, part of the conversation going in, and we look at each mission set as a new entity, and the creativity we bring to that is something that allows us to make the best choice. And I think that one, they had a real desire to have a confirmation of the target finishing, and so they went in with a live team.
And you're suggesting also that there'll be fewer civilian casualties in a SEAL strike.
There should be. There should be. Yeah, I write about, again, in Damn Few, I write really about the kind of ability for our guys to very carefully and selectively assess and execute missions that some of the drone strikes are not capable of.
Whenever I speak to anybody in the military, they talk about this sense of family, that whether they are in some minor unit or not. And you describe a very strong brotherhood among the SEALs. Is it different from the camaraderie we see in other branches of the military?
It is special. I think every unit has an esprit de corps, or a spirit to it, and a brotherhood, and connection to each other because you are training to go into harm's way, and you accept and take things that I think most coworkers don't deal with. So that's special.
But all people in the military are going into harm's way.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I think every unit feels that. I think the SEAL unit has a culture that is unique. We come from a very intense training program, so our selection process weeds out about 75-80% of the folks that start the training course, and so you get a very committed, driven group of guys, and it makes for very tight connections.
And you say guys, now that women will be allowed to serve in combat, do you think some women will apply to the SEALs?
I would be surprised if they didn't. I think right now we're in a window of time in the military where every unit has, I believe it's till May 15th, around mid-May, to come with their objections, recommendations, and suggestions on how to do that effectively and appropriately, and I'm sure the SEAL Command is churning on that right now. I have no doubt in my mind that there are women that can get through the course of instruction, so we'll see.
And we won't just be talking about the brotherhood of the SEALs, brotherhood and sisterhood.
That would change it. And that ends up becoming the real interesting. I wrote an article for Fox talking about this. And again, I believe absolutely women can pass our course of instruction. I think they can learn every skill set we learn and do so effectively. The brotherhood is real. And that connective tissue amongst our team is important. And I'd be interested to see how that would work in a co-ed locker room or on co-ed missions.
Well, I mentioned that you also headed up training, and the training is really hard, as you describe it, even compared to other military training programs. As a man, I'm not sure that when I was in my best physical condition, I could have done very well.
You know, I write a lot in Damn Few about this, that we don't have a prototype. That's what's real interesting about the course, is that we have guys that show up that are built like a Greek god, Olympic swimmers, Olympic athletes, and they come in and they hit that cold water and they quit. And then we'll get some young man from Nebraska that's never seen the ocean, taught himself to swim a month later, and we can't stop him.
There is a 500-meter underwater-only swim test. It sounds especially crazy. 500 meters, that means you have to swim both lengths of the pool underwater?
500 meters is the entrance test, and that's not a breath hold. 50-meter underwater swim. We don't swim it in one distance. You jump into the pool, do a somersault to stop your forward momentum, and then you swim to the one side of the pool. You're able to push off the far wall and come back.
Some people pass out?
It has happened. We keep every single student that's in the water has a SEAL instructor swimming directly above them. So there's tremendous, tremendous focus on the medical attention and support for the students.
And what percentage of the people who go through all of this graduate from SEAL training?
About 20-25% make it through. And those fluctuate. The numbers can vary from class. But historically, about 75% of the folks that start training don't finish.
And you suggested earlier that you can't always spot who's going to wind up
you can't.
Getting
you, you
through.
You think you can the first class as an instructor. You think for sure, okay, I can pick these 10 guys and they're going to get through, and these 10, no chance, and they make a liar out of you every time.
My guest is Rourke Denver, who was a SEAL officer for 14 years, and he tangled with drug lords in Latin America, fought. You had to deal with angry mobs in Liberia, battled terrorists in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's written a book called Damn Few, Making the Modern SEAL Warrior, written with the help of Ellis Hennigan. Now, what were you doing in Liberia? The United States wasn't really officially in Liberia, was it?
In 2003, I was assigned as a liaison officer on one of the big amphibious readiness groups in the Mediterranean. We were actually heading towards Iraq. We had launched Marines into northern Iraq from the decks of those ships. And then Charles Taylor, who's been in the news within the past year.
He was the warlord.
He was the warlord running the country and controlling, you know, drugs and diamonds and all sorts of chaos within Monrovia, Liberia, where multiple factions were fighting. And so we got the call to come in with our team and basically prepare a landing force of Marines, as you described earlier, to get them ashore and kind of run humanitarian and stabilizing operations there. I write about that as well. It ended up being an amazing chapter in my SEAL adventure.
And so you played a role in overthrowing Charles Taylor?
Taylor, by the time he knew we were coming, bugged out of town. So he had got out of there before we arrived. We had the opportunity to come in and really kind of establish order as best we could and allow them to move on from what had been a very, very violent upbringing to that point.
And now he's being tried in the world court.
He is.
You played one of the main characters in last year's movie, Act of Valor. Why did they choose real-life SEALs instead of actors?
The film company had come to our training program and had done some web videos for our, you know, recruiting website.
So this was originally going to be a recruiting film?
Well, that's why they first came to the program. And then we were in, the SEAL teams at the time, a little bit of a recruiting depression. So we'd lost a few guys and didn't have enough coming in to sustain the force. And the senior leadership cleared the opportunity for a bigger production, theatric release movie to take place all the way up through the Department of Defense. The directors came and just interviewed a bunch of SEALs for backstory. They had every intention of going back up to Los Angeles and casting actors to do it. And after they got to know us and spend some time with us, they went up and had the tough conversation and said, I think it'd be easier to teach SEALs to act than actors to be SEALs.
Well, Sylvester Stallone is a little old to be a SEAL, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he thinks so, but he'd have to come try the program to find out.
In the movie, your character dies heroically by jumping on a grenade to save his team. Is that based on anything that really happened?
It is. It's in Damn Few. One of my teammates in 2006, Mike Mansour, jumped on a grenade to save teammates on a rooftop in Ramadi and you know, paid the ultimate price for that act and was awarded the Medal of Honor for doing so.
Well, the SEALs are also featured in another movie that just opened, Zero Dark Thirty. I suspect you've seen it.
I have.
Do you feel that paints an accurate picture of the way the SEALs work?
Well, the SEAL component of that movie is actually very, very small, which is appropriately so. The
most exciting part, I think, at the end.
It's the culmination for sure, and the thing that made the most press. I think the strength of Zero Dark Thirty is that it pays a genuine and appropriate homage to the CIA and intel analysts that really stayed in the fight for 10 years to find the target. Once you tell a SEAL team or a special ops team, you know, your target is at this location, he's there, go get him, that's what we do. So that's actually the easy part of the job. Finding him is the hard part.
Well, not every operation is a success.
No. I mean, the enemy gets a vote, and sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they win the fight, and sometimes we do.
The SEAL motto is, the only easy day was yesterday. How do you interpret that?
You know, there's a couple signs around the grinder and buds, and I talk about this in Damn Few. It's kind of our town square where most of our training takes place in the basic level. And the only easy day was yesterday. It pays to be a winner. Be someone special are parts of our mantra. And the only easy day yesterday, I think, just makes each young man in the program that is aspiring to be a SEAL, I gave my full measure, you know, yesterday, and now it's time for a new round, and you better come with your best each time.
Well, it sounds like a way of dissuading all but the most committed from applying.
That really is what we are looking for in the SEAL teams. We are looking for folks that have a near pathological aversion to failure, and those are the type of people that make it through the training.
And in the book, you explain that even just meeting the requirements isn't enough.
No, you know, and I think that's the only easy day is yesterday mantra as well. You should be looking to exceed our standards and our requirements at every turn, because on the battlefield, second place is a bad place to be.
Well, I mentioned that you also headed up SEAL training. Since the training you describe is brutal, at what level of difficulty as an instructor do you draw the line? Because there have been problems in the past. I remember on Paris Island in the old days, it always seemed to be
sure. One
or two people dying because the training was too rough, and then that would lead to some kind of a controversy and a scandal.
It is. One of the things I enjoy talking about the most in Damn Few is this struggle we were facing in the training program, where the senior leadership of the United States government wanted to grow special operations forces, and the Brotherhood of SEALs, mostly the operators and the instructors, were very guarded on making sure we were getting the right people through. But it is art and science in our training program. The art is the instructors being able to use the curriculum to find out what the men are made of. The science is exactly how we teach you to dive, how long we keep you in the water. So it's a little of both.
So it's also your job to spot somebody who might not be able to make it through?
The curriculum does it. So we want to use the curriculum that's been based over, you know, 50 plus years with successful results.
It's not just physical, it's
not
also
just the
mental aspect.
It is absolutely. It's mental. And the mental side's bigger. To be honest, as I said, the prototypes that people would think come to SEAL training are not necessarily those that see the finish line. It really is the folks that have the mental focus to do it.
You explained that although SEALs do a lot of work in the water, they don't use regular scuba gear. What do they use?
We use what's called a rebreather. So there's it's a closed loop system which allows us to breathe on pure oxygen, and the reason we do that is it doesn't release bubbles, so we can be underwater and undetected on the surface while we're submerged.
Now, when you joined the military, you immediately applied to become a SEAL officer.
I did.
Is that unusual?
No, I think there's a good number of folks that are targeted in their focus and want to join that community. I applied to officer school in the spring of my senior year of college, and I wanted to go direct to the SEALs and was very fortunate to get a spot. It took me a little time, though.
But what was the application process like for you?
For an officer, you have to take an academic and written exam that's much like a light SAT test. So you take that exam, you give letters of recommendation, you write a mission statement letter or your desire to enter the program, and now they go through actual boards. For us, the selection board was in D.C. and the physical training test to get in the program.
Well, what led you to even decide that you wanted to join the military when you were in college? Aren't most college kids trying to not go to the military?
I mean, I can't say percentage-wise what the numbers are. I was listening to your last segment. I was a fine arts major, so there is a path for art and arts majors into the SEAL teams if anyone should desire that. But I was reading Winston Churchill at the time, and I read one of his autobiographies, and it just felt like a call to serve. And so from there, I wanted to get with an elite unit, and that brought me to the SEALs.
Well, you write about the emotional issue that as a SEAL, you are expected to kill people. How do you come to terms with that fact?
That was one of the very interesting parts of writing Damn Few. I didn't feel that wasn't a plan, and that just happened in the writing process. That as we talked about the missions, and then the most extreme case when you get in a deadly force encounter with another human being, we train to a standard that prepares us for that both mentally and physically. And so you get to a point where you've gone through the drill so many times you can mechanically get through it. It's on reflection that you deal with the emotional side of it, and I talk about that in Damn Few.
In both Afghanistan and Iraq, the initial desire was to do it with the fewest people possible. Donald Rumsfeld felt that we could do this lean and mean.
Yeah.
If the SEALs had been applied better in Afghanistan, do you think we would have been gone a while ago?
It's tough to armchair quarterback and say that definitively. I do think after this decade plus of war, we're going to take a serious look on how you employ forces and all our forces. And so I write about that in the later chapters of Damn Few, that I do think there is an application for targeted, deploy for purpose, rapidly flexible SEAL teams as being an option to not engage yourself in a longstanding war.
Are there lines that are drawn between what the SEALs will do, what the Marines will do, what the CIA will do?
There are specific skill sets within the kind of continuum of operations that are out there. Everyone has gotten so good in the amount of time that we've been at war. The conventional units have closed the gap between the special units tremendously. So I think the SEALs and the special ops units are now really looking, how do we create value as we move forward?
Is there competition between the various groups?
Of course. We're competitive people. So I think it's more so just kind of in our mind, and it's healthy. It's not negative.
My guest has been Rourke Denver, a former head of basic and advanced SEAL training and also star of the film Act of Valor. He's written with the help of Ellis Hennekin, Damn Few, Making the Modern SEAL Warrior. It is published by Hyperion. Thank you so much for being on the show.
I really appreciate you having me.